Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the air.
Welcome to the Weekend Report. Happy New Year.
Turned down my microphone.
The first Weekend Report. That was loud and clear. First Weekend Report of 2020.
Deaf, old man.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Chris Arps.
Yeah. Hey.
And our producer, Carl Middleman. Looking forward to a very eventful 2020 election year. We are so glad that you are joining us here on the Weekend Report. Got a whole lot to talk about. First, how was your New Year's Eve celebration? Did you do anything?
We actually stayed up till midnight. It's
Yay!
The first time
what?
In a long, long, long time. But and then we went to bed probably about 12:06.
Yeah.
And then we heard the reenactment of the Iran-Iraq war outside.
No kidding.
Afterwards.
That's how it was in our neighborhood, too. We didn't do anything. I either want to go big on New Year's Eve or I want to do nothing. And this was a nothing year. So
I've had no desire to do that since I was a young man. Now all the fools are out drinking and drunk and just stay at home and enjoy yourself.
I was also watching the countdown on online instead of on television. And so apparently I was at a delay. So we were at about 45 seconds. We were like, okay, the last minute, here we go, 60 seconds to go. And we got down to about 45, and then all of a sudden outside it was all fireworks.
Maybe they were just jumping the quote-unquote gun.
I was like, I think we're a little late on our countdown. Did you do anything, Carl?
I was spinning tunes at John Minio's restaurant in Town and Country.
Okay.
And I had all the songs picked out and everything for midnight. Yeah. And once again, they're watching it on satellite dish, so there is a delay. And I'm counting down, and I'm like, I guess we better do what Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest want because they're watching and we had to delay it.
Whenever
about 15
seconds. I DJ'd many New Year's Eve parties, and we would just make it up.
Yeah.
We would just totally make it up.
Right.
We'd be looking
whenever.
At the clock and be like 8, it'd be like 12:58, 12:59, we'd be like song would be ending, we'd be like, "All right, here we go. 10, 9."
Well, we did a practice at 11:00. So older people that wanted to go home. Except it was weird. I had all these current music and dance music. Mm-hmm. And at 12:45, it was nothing but octogenarians. And so I had to play music. I had to play music from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I adjusted, and it was great.
Right.
Carl, I learned something new about you every week. Movie critic, New Year's Eve DJ.
Idea. People ask me because I do the music for the blues.
Okay.
And so therefore they say, well, you must have all this music. And I said, I am not one of those wiki.
Right. You can't scratch.
I was never that type of DJ.
I play songs. But then you did the hotel thing for several years getting paid.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I remember one of my first years working for The Point was the big Y2K.
Right, yeah.
And I remember being on stage in the year 2000 with that huge celebration that we did at the Hyatt at Union Station at the time, and now I think that's a Hilton over there. But
or is
I can't
it the
believe...
Union Station Hotel?
Yeah.
I think it's not anything.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I can't believe that was 20 years ago, the whole Y2K thing.
Tell me this, getting back to New Year's Eve, when you heard the gunfire, were you like, that doesn't sound legal? I mean, some of these weapons were heavy machinery. Like, that can't be legal.
Well, you can only bring it out once a year.
There was a mix between firecrackers, fireworks, and gunfire.
I didn't hear any fireworks.
And
all guns.
We had a combination of all three. And so, you're trying to determine, okay, That is like some Black Cat firecrackers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a bottle rocket. That was an AK-47.
And you're like, this doesn't seem right. I have to be crawling around on the floor at my own home on New Year's so I don't get shot.
Yeah, and it went for a good like 30 minutes too. It was like, all right, guys, you don't have to celebrate it here. Like, you got away with it for a while. Now knock it off.
It's really funny you mentioned being at the hotel things. One year I was at El Monstero when I was working at the Oldie Station, and it was they were supposed to have Dark Side of the Moon timed out perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, you know, things happen with live music.
Yeah.
It was like 2 minutes off. Everybody else has gotten like their phones are all ding, 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 ding.
But the
crowd, they didn't care. Yet. They were all high watching Dark Side of the Moon.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we did it 2 minutes late and no one cared.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
No, like I said, we always just made it up. We always just completely made it up on our countdown when we were DJing those parties. Various places.
And then we all went and stood in line in Collinsville to pay for marijuana.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be so. Yeah, there's so much to talk about now that 2020
legal
is
marijuana.
Here.
You might want to say that.
Oh, no, yeah.
We've got people, in Illinois standing in line for 5 hours to get marijuana. We've got the official beginning of an election year. We've got the legislative session about to kick off here. We're going to talk to Rodney Boyd in the next segment about what he's looking forward to in 2020 here in the state of Missouri. Also, next hour, we're going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer about some of the things that he's working on for the new year. Chris Arps, as we go into the new year, is there anything that you are specifically looking forward to, either nationally or locally? Or, I mean, there's so much.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't say anything in particular, but I am happy to be entering my 54th year of life and healthy and love doing a radio show with you great guys. So life is good.
Let's talk about one of the issues that we did see on New Year's Eve, and this was Bill de Blasio versus Domino's. And for those that didn't see this story, the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, tweeted out on New Year's Eve basically an attack of the Domino's in Times Square. The tweet said something along the lines of jacking up prices to take advantage of people visiting our city, classy move, Domino's. And the Domino's in Times Square, I guess a normal large pizza is about $15, and they moved it up to $30. Yeah.
$30 for a pizza.
Yeah, $30.
But nobody's putting
a
gun to your head and making you buy it.
So, and he, look, I'm not going to support price gouging. I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but there is a such thing as supply and demand and market demand. And we know that I've been to Times Square. I've had a hotel room in Times Square.
I stayed in the Marquee.
I know. I know that depends on what time of year. We did the whole Christmas in New York thing, and the flight, the hotel, and many factors of when you go to when you travel anywhere depends on how much the trip costs.
Yeah. Peak
hotel room anywhere. It does not have the same price all year long.
Yeah.
We know that those hotel rooms in Times Square are more expensive on New Year's Eve because we know that the flights are more expensive.
Uber.
We know Uber
surge
is more expensive.
Pricing.
Yeah, we know that sports teams like the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Yankees have dynamic pricing where if the Yankees are playing the Red Sox on a Saturday night, it costs a lot more than if they're playing the Mariners on a Tuesday. So all these other New York businesses do it, but the mayor is going to call out specifically Domino's just because Domino's is an quote-unquote evil corporation, and it's a way for him to pander and grandstand against a corporation. And it's just so obvious. I don't understand how anybody falls for
it. In my opinion, price gouging is when you charge incredibly high prices for something that is a necessity.
Yeah.
So if there's a
flood. Like medicine or gas.
Yeah.
Yes.
If there's a flood and people are out of stuff and you're charging $100 for a case of water.
Toilet paper.
Of course, you got to have toilet paper. That's price gouging.
Yeah,
but in a situation like this where it's New Year's Eve, you've got all kinds of places that you can eat. You don't have to eat at the McDonald's. You've got choices. That's not price gouging. That's like what you said. That's supply and demand.
Yeah, and in I think in part of the tweet he said, like, you know, if you're visiting, instead of going to Domino's, visit one of our fine local establishments.
Yeah. Which you should do that in New York anyway.
Yeah, you should. I agree. But let's go and check all the New York pizza restaurants in Times Square and see if they raise their prices.
Because
I bet you they did. Yeah, they're already expensive, and I bet you they raised their prices as well, just like everybody else did.
Yeah.
But it's the hypocrisy of, I've got to point out one organization because they're a big, rich, fat cat corporation, and that's why we can attack them, even though it's happening all around him.
Yeah.
And can we, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
And can we really expect any more from a New York Democrat politician when we saw AOC ran Amazon out of New York, a billion-dollar company with all of those jobs?
Hey,
they ran them
won.
Out.
She's waiting for an apology.
Yeah, she's dumber than she looks.
What do you think about recreational marijuana in the state of Illinois?
If that's what the citizens of Illinois want, and that's what they vote for, and that through their legislature, I'm all for it. Personally, I just don't think that marijuana should be legal. I know the argument that, it's just like alcohol, it's legal.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a slippery slope when you just.
Alcohol.
I think it's a slippery slope when you just start legalizing formerly illicit drugs. Alcohol's been with us for thousands of years as okay. Marijuana's been around, I know. But when we start going down that path of marijuana, and then what's next?
Yeah.
And then they're selling it under the guise of look how much tax revenue this brings
well,
to
yeah,
the
that's,
state.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's a different conversation.
But ordinarily, people that wouldn't be for this, they buy
look,
that.
I'm
well,
all,
look at the money.
I'm libertarian. All for I'm all for legalization of marijuana, medical, recreational, or whatever. But the idea that it's a big tax revenue winner for the state of Illinois. I'll believe that when I see it because Illinois screws everything like that up. And the people that are standing in line for 5 hours, look, you've waited your whole life for it to be legal. Wait another few days until the lines go down. There is nothing that is worth standing in line for 5 hours
and,
for.
And let's talk
opinion.
About how smart it is to be interviewed by the news media and have your name up there. And like I said, one day
hey,
you're going to.
I saw you on TV.
Yeah, or one day you're going to apply.
You're the person standing in line for 5 years.
And one day you're going to apply for a job and they're going to look you up.
Yeah.
And that screenshot of you in line buying marijuana is going to be there. And then you're going to wonder why I wasn't hired.
Well, we've got a whole lot more to talk about, a lot of stories that we want to dive into. As we go through the show today, we're going to take this first break, and when we get back, we are going to talk to Rodney Boyd and get his thoughts on the new legislative session here in the state of Missouri next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. FM Talk, Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman
Hello.
In the studio, and joining us on the phone, and as Carl was just yelling at us, do it on the air,
talking about these amazing topics off the air.
Just talking to Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk, which is heard every Sunday here on 97.1. We're talking about all of the things that come along with a new year that I want to talk to Rodney about. We're going to go into a new legislative session here in the state of Missouri really, really soon. And the state of Illinois. Illinois. This is not where I intended on starting with Rodney, but since we were just having this conversation off the air, I figure we'll just bring it on the air. We were also talking, of course, about the new legal marijuana in Illinois. Rodney, are you still in line over there in Collinsville, or are you back home now?
Look, someone said this off air. I won't say who. I can get a better deal around the corner from where I live. So I'm not going to do that.
So
I mean, you know, guys, we were talking about this, and this is the illusion that we will see whether it manifests into reality. That states and local governments that have pushed forward with recreational marijuana, in particular, think that it is a source of unlimited resources. And so the tax schemes, 35%, 37%, 40%, when you add the local and state taxes, are going to hit a couple of people, at least on the dispensary cultivation side, over the head. And we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I am a libertarian. I am all for legalization of marijuana, whether it be medical or recreational, if that's what the people want, if that's what the people vote for. Then that's the way it should be, and I support that completely. However, with just about everything else that they do in the state of Illinois, it's not, in my opinion, a source of unlimited resources, and in fact, could backfire on them if they're gonna tax with the way that we kind of see that maybe they're doing. And it's kind of it illustrates, doesn't it, Rodney, the difference between the state of Illinois and the state of Missouri. Not that we don't have our own issues over here, but man, when you're right across the river from Illinois, it kind of makes you feel good about yourself.
Well, it does when it comes to comparing the ecosystems, economic systems, because mm-hmm. folks from Illinois now, especially those who live on the Missouri border or have access to Missouri, are coming over here to buy liquor, gas, commodities, and you know, soon, if it's a medicinal marijuana, they'd probably be trying to get their scripts filled over here versus mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. In some ways, you know, we have become very attractive to those metropolitan area regional folks because the taxes that are being levied by the state of Illinois to make up with the debt is astronomical.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. I think Illinois is raising taxes this year, $9 billion. And we know what will happen, Ron. The state will end up spending $10 billion, more than what they take in. You know, I want to bring up an issue that's starting to get a little traction. The Post-Dispatch is starting to write more stories on it. And I think they see it as an Achilles heel for Governor Parson. It's these illegal, legal gambling machines. Mm. That's going to be a big topic next year in the legislature to decide if these machines are legal. Where do you see this heading in the session this year, Rod?
So good query. Not a new topic, and let's be clear, the machines are illegal.
Okay.
The gray machines that are operating in various pockets of the state and the back of certain venues are illegal. There's no question about that. The question is whether we would bring the industry, which they are operating in Illinois, by the way, and that's a 35% tax over there, called video lottery machines. These are machines that are somewhere, you know, north of the lottery ticket machines, because mm-hmm. they're automated, but they're south of full-fledged, like, slot machines. And they are not really allowed for in Missouri because the Gaming Commission deals with full-on gaming and the Lottery Commission deals with lottery. So in the meantime, they've been around for decades. This mm-hmm. is not new, but they're certainly illegal. So there isn't a continuing conversation, which has begun a few sessions ago, about will Missouri open up itself to video lottery terminals, and then what that means. And I don't know that. I don't know the outcome. I know there have been a few bills filed that haven't gotten any traction. In the meantime, while you have the conversation about legalizing these video machines, the gray machines, they seem to be doing quite well. And I think that's the struggle for people. Why do we have an industry that's unregulated, untaxed, when we can have one that is? And so that is the debate that will play out. There's already been legislation filed, I believe, in the Missouri Senate to deal with forcing some penalties on the illegal machines and then bringing the industry into the state.
Rod,
so it is a conversation that will be had.
Rod, you're in Jefferson City, and you talk to many different legislators on different sides of the aisle. Do you have a finger of the pulse of what do their constituents back home think of these machines? Are they in favor of them, not in favor of them?
Well, because this issue has not really been vetted, I don't know that the constituents have voiced their concern. So you have to use sort of the last big ask. So before, the last big issue was about 2008, and the voters of Missouri were asked a simple question across the state, all 114 counties. Do you guys want to keep this artificial gambling structure where you have to get on a boat and ostensibly sail out and gamble for 2 hours with a $500 loss limit? Or do you want to just basically strip all that away and have the right to gamble, maybe limit the licenses to what they are now, add a couple, but basically take all those artificial rules away? I think the number in 2008 was 71% of the Missouri voters from across the state. It's a pretty good number. Voted to eliminate the loss limits and the concept that you had to get out on a boat and sail out. And remember that era from a long time ago? So and then every since then, there were a few licenses that were left in play you could apply for. I think it went from 10 to 13. Go down to Cape Girardeau, and they had a conversation down there about did they want to embrace gaming. I think 80% of the people, or some number, high number, voted to bring gaming to Cape Girardeau. So I think the climate in this state for gaming is consistent with that in the nation and consistent with our friend Tony Colombo. It's more of a libertarian idea, right? If you bring this industry, if people don't want to go, they don't go. But if they do, most people don't want to go play the gray machines, and they're not going to go to those establishments. So can you create a framework around this and couple it with other things like sports betting? We don't have legalized sports betting in Missouri. It's another part of the conversation that the Supreme Court ruled last year that states could regulate sports betting. So we're going to have a broader gaming conversation, but for the legislators who weren't in office in 08 and want to know what voters think, I think if you look at the last election, the state said we're willing to expand gaming in a way that is responsible, regulated, and mature. I think that's probably, if you polled it again, where most people would come out.
Talking to Rodney Boyd. Rodney, 2019, the big issues were the abortion bill, the situation with General Motors. Besides the gaming issue, what in 2020 are you thinking that is going to be the big headlines coming out of the legislative session in Missouri?
So I think probably the biggest headline that we're going to have to deal with is one around public safety. And what I mean by that is in a comprehensive way. What are we doing to keep and make Missouri a safe state? It's January 3rd, mid-afternoon. We've had 7 homicides in the city of St. Louis, right? 7. Mm-hmm. It's in 3 days in the year. The numbers are coming in from Kansas City and other parts of the state. So we're going to have a conversation about public safety in the Capitol, or people are not going to feel like they want to come and invest and grow in our state. It's not just a St. Louis problem. It's a state problem. If you look at St. Louis, Springfield, Columbia, Kansas City, the metro areas that attract media attention, crime and violent crime is headed in the wrong direction. So that's a conversation that I know the governor wants to have, the legislature wants to have, and we will. And then beyond that, the other conversation that always is probably most important is our budget, and that ties into our tax policy and our revenues. And when you don't have a state where our state's not growing, and we aren't growing, we're flat, that means it's tougher for us to afford to do the things that people want to have us do as a state. So there's going to be a lot of conversations around tax policy, around what we do, if anything, with the wafer tax, around what we do with the budget that sort of addresses the needs as they're tightening. And then there's another conversation that's really not, folks, not in the building, but it will be in the building, is we have now this new process of initiative petitions to create state laws that we all have to live and sort of figure out how to deal with. And the last go-round, it was Clean Missouri, it was medicinal marijuana, it was some other things around voting. And the conversation in 2020 is going to be around expanding Medicaid, which has a real fiscal impact on the state. It's going to be around some other voting areas, and there was almost an effort around education. So we're now having these dual-track processes of how we sort of make our laws and amend our Constitution that are extremely real. Like, you got the initiative petition process and you've got the legislature, and they're moving on dual tracks to produce policies that we all have to live with. So there's going to be some conversations in the Capitol about specifically about what we can do with this initiative petition process, if anything.
Rodney.
So,
sorry.
Yes. No, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of crime, especially in St. Louis, a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, Governor Parson met with representatives of politicians from St. Louis and Kansas City. A lot of people construed that some of the measures that they were coming up with were anti-Second Amendment. The governors came back and clarified that. But do you think seven murders on New Year's Day, you know, will that give them a little
five,
more
it was
impetus?
Only five on New Year's Day.
Oh, I'm
Chris.
Sorry.
Come
seven
on,
in 2 days. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Seven in 3 days.
I mean, I hate to make light of that, but no, it is. But, I mean, but do you think this horrific crime that we've seen just in 2 days may bring forth more Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment measures? Mm.
Hey, look, let's be clear, anti-Second Amendment measures will not pass in Jefferson City. They just won't. There's not the vote to get anything through.
But we had Representative Lovasco on, Rodney, that said that they're not even going to let any of these anti-gun bills get to the floor. That mean that like
I agree, and that's, you know what, and when you say Vescovo, he's the floor leader. He determines what goes to the floor. So we know where that is, right? So I think what has to happen, and I know what the governor was trying to do was to say, let's push away from anything that obstructs, impedes, or interferes with the Second Amendment. And what kind of conversation can we have around public safety? We have Missourians being slaughtered in the streets. And if this was Iraq, we'd all say, hey, do something. Or if it was Afghanistan, we'd say, do something. But it's Missouri. And so I'm not exactly sure what policies come out of the process. But I know that there will be a healthy conversation. There has to be. Because if I'm a CEO and I'm making the decision as to whether I want to move my corporation or keep it in a state, I want to know my employees and their families are going to be safe, first and foremost. Crime is a contagion. It's not contained in one particular zip code. It spreads around. It moves around. It's like a cancer. It metastasizes. So a lot of the violent crime that once was limited to zip codes in the city is now spread out to North County, is now spreading out to West County. And you see that same sort of spreading around the state, around Springfield. There are pockets of Springfield that are just as violent as Walnut Park.
Yeah.
There are neighborhoods in Kansas City that have unresolved homicides. In Columbia, Missouri, for the first time in our lives, had, I think, 12 homicides last year.
That's what I was going to bring up. Missouri. Columbia is getting kind of rough in certain areas.
Yeah.
And so I don't think anybody is foolish enough to believe that there's going to be anything done that impedes, infringes, or affects the Second Amendment. But that doesn't mean we can't have and must not have a real public safety conversation. Or I'll tell you what's going to happen. People are going to vote. People are going to be driven out of these metropolitan areas, which is going to ultimately hurt the whole state. So we've got to have a conversation about what we can do about public safety and crime. And I'm not sure what the answers are. I mean, that's not really my role. But I'm at least glad to see that the governor and the mayors of the metro cities are at least trying to figure out what can be done.
Rodney, real quick, one more question before we lose you. I know a lot can happen between now and Election Day, but as we sit here at the beginning of 2020, my outlook is that Auditor Galloway does not seem to put a very strong campaign against Governor Parson. Is that how you see it? And do you think that there's any way that this could shape into a compelling governor election in 2020, or as you see it, is the governor the hands down favorite?
Well, let me be pragmatic. I agree with your assessment today. But if you would have told me 13 months ago that a governor would resign and that the domino effect of that would be that every other statewide office holder would be appointed by his replacement, if you'd have told me that 13, 14 months ago, I would have thought you were nuts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I don't do anymore is discount any probable or possibility.
Yeah.
Anything's probable or possible in this political climate, which is like the currents in a stream. I mean, it just goes all over the place. But now back to today, looking at the things that they are established today, I think Governor Parson has done a pretty good job of protecting his brand. He's polling in double digits higher than Ms. Galloway and seems to be doing everything he needs to do to get reelected. And it's a huge uphill battle for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you guys, in the current that we are sort of privy to now, political current shifts and swings, let's keep talking about this every month because time will tell what will happen.
Sure. That is Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk every Sunday at noon here on 97.1. Rodney, what's on this weekend show?
We're talking public safety. We're talking with the public safety director for the city of St. Louis because we have to, because we've got 7 homicides in 3 days. Yeah. And probably by the time we get to my show, sad to say, and not to minimalize it, it may be up to 10 or 12.
Yeah, double digits.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, so we just have to really begin to talk about what we can do in this space.
Well, we'll be listening, Rodney. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Rod.
Thank you, guys. All right.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, got more stories to delve into, more headlines to cover here on the Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with Chris Arps and Carl Middleman. Big
Hello.
Thank you to Rodney Boyd for joining us in that last segment. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to State Rep Nick Schroer. Don't forget, if you miss anything on the Weekend Report or any of the other shows here on 97.1, you can download our podcast. You can download our podcast in a lot of places, but the best place to do so is the Radio.com app. Radio.com app gives you one-stop shopping for the whole station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, and you can download all of the podcasts from all of the shows, and all of it is absolutely free. So make sure you are checking that out. I want to dive back into some of the big stories of the week and as we lead into the new year here. And Chris, something that Rodney touched on a lot in that conversation with him was the need for the Missouri legislator to address public safety in the new year. And he mentioned all of the homicides that we have already seen in the city of St. Louis. 5 homicides on New Year's Day.
Crazy.
2019 wrapped up with 194 homicides in the state, or in the city of St. Louis, which was up from 186 in 2018. Not a good start for the city. And something that seems to be plaguing every time there's a new list of the most dangerous cities in the country, you know, the worst places to live.
Baltimore won last year. We did not win.
Well, there you go. We were second, right? So
second or third.
We're always at or near the top.
Yeah.
Do you have any reason to believe or any faith that 2020 is the year that the city of St. Louis starts to reverse course on that? Or are we just continuing down a hole of watching the city just become more and more dangerous around us?
Tony, I think as long as Kim Gardner is St. Louis City Circuit Attorney, we're going to continue to see murder and mayhem in the streets. I think the circuit attorney has sent out a message to the bad folks in our community that she will coddle you, that she won't ask for you to have bail, that she will blame the police instead of
that
the criminals.
She won't prosecute.
Exactly, exactly. And I think, you know, your average criminal on the street is not watching the 5 o'clock news and following current events, but there's talk, and people know that this is a circuit attorney that is kind of has the view of being soft on crime.
And even if they don't look that far down the path, they at least realize, hey, we've been stealing cars for 2 years, and nobody—I've not seen one person get in trouble for it. So why would we stop now?
Yeah, I think, and you know, it's something you can't ever prove. But I really do just think that the top law enforcement official setting a example that she is soft on crime, I think, gives impetus to the criminals to just get to use a hip hop slang to get buck wild.
Yeah, we talked about how Illinois using recreational marijuana as a way to generate tax revenue. One thing that the city of St. Louis is working on, apparently, in 2020, which doesn't help anybody with anything, in my opinion, is reinstating red light cameras. That's that's what we're working on. Yeah. I mean, of all the problems and all the issues, excuse me, that we could be dealing with in the city of St. Louis, Lyda-Cruson wants to put the red light cameras back?
Well, you know, they try to tell this under the guise that it's for safety and that constituents are calling for it. But Tony, you and I know this is a straight money grab.
It's a money grab, and it's a money grab that I don't even think is going to work.
Well,
I don't think people pay those tickets.
Well, part of the reason why the law was deemed unconstitutional is because the red light camera didn't take a picture of the person that was actually driving where you could distinguish it. Apparently, they have technology now that can clearly show a picture of the driver. So I think that's all the impetus they needed to install this. But it's a complete money grab. You know, I've gotten a couple of these red light tickets, and they're $100 a piece.
Yeah.
And the tickets that I got was I did a rolling stop at a stop sign. Yeah. And I did it like 2 weeks in a row, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to get a ticket because I didn't stop completely." Yeah. I think they're BS.
I don't think that they make anybody safer or address any real issue. Except for let's try to raise some more tax revenue.
And I bet you, Tony, if you did a study of the people that have gotten these tickets, I bet you the burden falls disproportionately on poor people.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
I bet you.
And I bet nobody pays them. I bet the percentage of people that pay them. And yeah, and there was a good point that you just made, because people that do remember the red light cameras first time around, they were deemed unconstitutional. So people are thinking, how can you bring them back if they were unconstitutional? Yeah. The old ones took a picture of your license plate. These are supposed to take a picture of you.
Right.
In
big
the car.
Brother. Kind of big brother, ain't it?
And that, no, big time. And apparently that is that's the difference. And that's what makes the new ones legal and the old ones illegal. Easy. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Did you get a red light ticket, Carl?
I agree.
Yeah.
Carl.
Oh,
okay.
I paid one of them.
$100? They're $100, wasn't they? Like, it was like across the board. It didn't matter if it was a stop sign, stoplight, $100.
I didn't pay the next one.
Chris, I really am interested in getting your thoughts on this story. Chuck Todd, last week on Meet the Press, read a letter to the editor that was critical of Christians, basically saying that Christians can't think for themselves. The letter that he read said, quote, "Why do good people vote for Trump? It's because they have been trained since childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make you feel good. The more fairy tales and less he tells, the more fairy tales and less he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I'll show you a Trump voter." Are you kidding? So exactly. Chuck Todd reads this letter on Meet the Press, and I can't help but think flip test.
Yeah.
What if this was a letter that was critical of Islam? It would never happen. But Christians are fair game. Yeah. You can call them any name you want, and I know that your faith is something that is really important to you. I just want to get your thoughts.
I think overall, in general, this is a knock on Christianity, but I think it's also is the Democrats or liberals still trying to explain how in the heck did Donald Trump become president? And this is just the latest little thing that they're trying to explain it away. I think that Chuck Todd probably has a less of a sensitivity to this because he is Jewish. And I think he sees it like, well, I can kind of bash the Christian religion. It's not my religion. I can say this. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that line, show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark and I'll show you a Trump voter, and that Christians are good. Why do good people vote for Trump? Basically because they're stupid and they'll believe anything that you tell them. I mean, again, only Christians That's the only religion that you can say that about, that you can
technically Noah's Ark is Jewish
about. But, you know what I mean, exactly. though? Like, imagine if somebody wrote a letter about Muslims, about Islam. Yeah. About, you think Chuck Todd would read that on Meet the Press?
Well, I don't know if you guys have looked at your 401k statements lately, but I am very happy to be a Trump supporter and to be called stupid.
Had some movement in the presidential race here lately. Julian Castro.
Hoorah!
I know that you thought that he was a front runner.
I did. I thought he was going to just run away with it.
He's backed up.
First Hispanic president.
He's packed up and shut it down. Also, Marianne Williamson has not.
You making news?
Did not leave the race, but she did lay off her entire campaign staff.
All one.
Wow. She fired her entire campaign staff.
Her son.
But she has not, at least I don't think that she has officially ended her campaign. Marianne Williamson looks like she's on the outs. Julian Castro is officially on the outs.
Maybe we need to start another campaign to have our listeners send a dollar in to keep her
next?
In the race.
Yeah, no kidding. We did that once.
Mm. Who's next? You know, I tell you who should be next, but their resiliency is just amazing, is Andrew Yang.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's raising, I think, $13 or $14 million.
But I don't think he's qualified for the next debate yet.
Yeah, but he's still hanging in there.
Did you expect the guy that's going to give everybody $1,000 to still be in the race in January of 2020?
Yeah. No.
I mean, he's remarkable. I would say probably him. Carl kind of helped me with that when he said he hasn't made the debate yet.
He is still
there
doing okay.
There are two thresholds.
We're very well.
He's doing well as far as fundraising is concerned. That's all that matters.
I don't think he has the percentage.
Right, but fundraising will keep you in it, whether you're doing well in the polls or not.
Booker, probably.
Yeah, Booker. Yeah.
I thought he was out of money.
So
he is, but
somebody who's not out of money is Bernie Sanders, who led the Democrats in the fourth quarter in fundraising, announcing that he raised $34.5 million in the fourth quarter, including $18 million in December alone. Before we run out of time in this segment, I really want to do this story. Joe Biden, I think, finished third, even behind Pete Buttigieg. Joe Biden not making friends with West Virginia coal miners who are firing back at him after what they call his disdain for mining and coal miners after he said, quote, anyone who can go down 3,000 feet in a mine sure as hell can learn how to program as well. But we don't think about it that way. Anybody who can throw coal into a furnace can learn how to program, for God's sakes.
Wow.
Making friends with coal miners. Scranton Joe. Oh, everybody, every man Joe.
Wow. Maybe he realizes that.
What is that? What is he thinking?
Well, I don't say maybe he realized, look, Virginia is a quote-unquote Democratic state, but they are very, very purple, almost red Democrats. Their Senator Joe Manchin was rumored to switch parties.
Yeah.
He's rumored to probably not going to vote for impeachment. So maybe he sees, you know, West Virginia kind of slipping away, and Joe's tongue got a little away from him. He said
anybody
something
stupid.
Anybody
who can throw coal into a furnace can learn how to program, for God's sake.
It's just Joe.
So I think Joe finished third, if I'm not mistaken, with 22.7. Pete Buttigieg was second behind Bernie, but dang, Bernie Sanders.
Put it in perspective. Trump raised an incredible amount
of
$45 million.
46, $45 million.
And Bernie's only $10 million behind. That's a pretty impressive haul for Bernie.
Yeah. So anybody who thinks like Bernie's, you know, his time has passed, his best run was in 2016, when you're making that kind of money, you're not going anywhere. So, and we are also not
it's
going
over?
Anywhere.
We have
1 hour down,
oh, okay.
1 hour to go. When we get back, we'll talk to State Rep Nick Schroer about what he is working on as we start the 2020 legislative session here in the state of Missouri. That's next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. Said I do.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
You got in there.
New year.
That's right. Hour number two of the Weekend Report on your radio. Tony Colombo here. Chris Arps there. Carl Middleman in studio as well. Thank you for joining us for the first Weekend Report of 2020. Looking forward to a fun, exciting, chaotic, crazy election year.
Can I give a piece of advice to everyone regarding 2020? And I thought this was very interesting. I saw it on the internet. But it said when you write down the date on documents or whatever,
like a check.
Don't just put 20 because people can add.
They can put 19 on there, so it's invalid.
I thought I was really helping everyone.
So we talked a little bit about that on the Dave Glover Show this week. Why would anybody do that?
Why would anybody do anything?
What's in it for anybody to change your 20 to a 2015 and make it
make your check invalid? Yeah, then they don't get paid.
You can't steal the money from a person by doing that.
I'll have you an answer next Saturday.
Okay, thank you. Very good.
It's
going
to take me a week
that.
To try to figure it out.
All right,
figure out an answer.
You know what? If there's a person who maybe knows the answers to everything in this world, it is Newsmaker Nick
Schroer.
Rep Nick Schroer joins us, as we mentioned in the last segment, as we kick off hour number two of the Weekend Report. Nick, great to talk with you, my friend. How's it going?
It is going.
I
have days from a session, so I'm getting all the things ready to keep Missouri great.
Yeah, I was going to say you are about to be a very, very busy man as we kick off the Missouri legislative session. We talked to Rodney Boyd in the first hour about the new session and got some thoughts from him. If you guys missed that conversation, don't forget you can rewind if you're listening to the app, the radio.com app, on the use the radio rewind feature. Or, of course, you can just download our podcast, which is absolutely free, also on the radio.com app, so you don't miss anything. Or you can hear it again, in case you you missed some parts of that conversation with Rodney. Always great stuff from him. So, State Rep Schroer, I want to get into some of the things that you're working on in the new year. But first, I also want to catch up. One of the probably the biggest issue that came out of the Missouri legislative session last year was your abortion bill, which made national news. But then, you know, there were all these legal challenges to the abortion bill, and now it's kind of fallen out of the news cycle, and I haven't really heard any status of where we are with the Missouri abortion bill. Can you just give us a quick update on where we are at in that process?
So House Bill 126, we passed it this past year in 2019, went to the governor's desk, and immediately there were people, whether it was Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, trying to stop it. Ultimately, about 90% of the bill is now law. It has gone into effect. It is dropping the number of abortions in our state dramatically, saving many, many countless lives. But there is a small piece that is still in the courts as we speak. As you mentioned, last year there was a portion, the eight-week up to 20-week ban. There's four different bans there, depending on where the court strikes down. If they strike any, it would move from an eight-week ban to a 14-week to an 18-week to a 20-week ban with all the justification and scientific evidence behind it. They threw that out. One judge did, the same judge who overturned the previous pro-life bill we passed a couple years back, but then was slapped on the wrist by the Eighth Circuit, which fully let that bill go into effect. But this same judge had put a temporary prohibition on that part, and a part which would prohibit selective abortions for because of race, gender, anything like that, or Down syndrome diagnoses. So as of right now, that temporary prohibition has been appealed. I believe there's going to be a hearing. It's either later this month or next month in the appellate court to see if the judge was not correct in putting that temporary prohibition on that. Thereafter, the full case will be heard. So like I said, I predicted that this wouldn't be done until later this year. If not, maybe if it keeps going, which it could, depending on which way the court falls on this, it could go to the appellate court. And then there's always the possibility of going to the Supreme Court, which is not our intent when we set out for this. Our intent was saving lives and standing up for the unborn, speaking for the unborn. But there are countless groups that are out there that would challenge us all the way to the Supreme Court.
And it was written in such a way that if it did have to go that far, you guys were prepared for it, right?
Absolutely. What we did is we zeroed in on the cases since Roe v. Wade, what the judges from the Supreme Court and even our Eighth Circuit and other surrounding circuits, what has been done in these circuits, what the giving us guidance through why they were not upholding these different bans. And we implemented all of that into our piece of legislation, which even Ben Shapiro said was probably the best well-written pro-life piece of legislation he's ever seen.
So now looking forward into 2020, what are you working on in the new year?
So I've got a lot of different bills dealing with a lot of different topics, helping our veterans. I've got a step two in the process of helping our veterans get work. A couple years back, we passed a piece of legislation that was mine, which would allow the private businesses, now the government can do it, but now private businesses, because of my legislation, can advertise and give preference to veterans and their family, their spouses. What we're going to try to do this year is some license reciprocity, which would allow, let's say, someone from Illinois or Florida, they're a military spouse, and the family gets shipped here to Fort Leonard Wood. What this would do is allow the state to honor the license, whether it's nursing, carpentry, what have you. It would allow the state to honor that, to get them back to work, to remove the hurdles and you know different issues that they would see if they wanted to get work here very quickly. So there's a couple things dealing with veterans. I've got some big crime bills that I've talked to the governor. The governor has indicated that this is a priority of his. Dealing with criminals in St. Louis and Kansas City areas that should not have guns to begin with. So we're fixing our armed criminal action statutes. I've also got a piece of legislation. I know Mark Cox and Tim Jones have spoke about during their weekly shows, which would allow the attorney general in cases where first responders believe that they have probable cause to proceed with the case. They give it to a prosecutor. Let's say Kim Gardner, for example, and she refuses to prosecute this case. The first responders can take that and give it to the attorney general, the probable cause, and the attorney general would be allowed to prosecute the case in the jurisdiction where it originated. I've also got another. I've got, you know, I spoke on the Second Amendment radio about some pieces of legislation on guns. I just filed another one right after the new year. Everybody's got this fresh in their mind still. The celebratory gun firing in St. Louis and Kansas City areas, as of right now, that's only technically by you know, municipal laws. It's technically a misdemeanor, which is like a speeding ticket, to fire a gun in the air in a celebratory fashion with criminal negligence. Even if it comes down and strikes somebody like it did this family in the Kansas City area, killed one of their family members several years ago. And even this year, there were 317 shots fired, reported in Kansas City area alone. I saw on Snapchat the other day, individuals walking around in the city of St. Louis just firing them in the air with no regard to where that bullet's coming down.
I think it was way more than 317. I mean, that was an epidemic everywhere, it seemed like, on New Year's Eve this year.
Well, the interesting thing is, when I came in as a freshman, a Democrat had filed this bill. This is a Democrat bill working with the family in the Kansas City area. I liked the bill, and that Democrat is now gone, so I filed it this year. And it's funny that the Democrats did not come out against that Democrat bill. It's a common sense piece of legislation. But this year when I filed it, several Democrats have come out against my piece of legislation. But I think they will be concentrating on a piece. You're going to hear it here first on the Weekend Report. I'm going to file a piece of legislation this next week titled Keep Our School Safe Act, which would require, per the school safety task force that the governor implemented this past year, their findings, they came out in a bipartisan fashion, and they've agreed that every school with children present needs an armed, trained school resource officer. So this would just basically implement that plan from the school safety task force and put a armed, trained resource officer. It could be, by the way that this legislation is written, it could be a former military member, former law enforcement member, or somebody who's gone through all the training to become an armed, trained school resource officer.
Nick, you got a lot of legislation there that you're sponsoring.
I like that one a lot.
I didn't hear anything about reparations. Is that still in the running there? You got that bill working?
I'm trying to have a serious conversation here, and this guy.
I'm going to leave that to Tony Lovasco. He might file that.
No, I want to get back to the abortion issue for just a second. Missouri has one abortion mill left. That's in St. Louis. And we learned late last year that Illinois, over in Illinois, across the river, they're building a mega abortion mill. Do you think that clinic is being built to replace the one in here in St. Louis?
Well, that clinic's up and running already. So I would say that it was built in such a way, knowing that Republicans here and even some Democrats still in the state of Missouri stand for life at all stages. And when you look at what the Republicans passed with the criminal justice reform, I've got a bill this year dealing with elder abuse and financial exploitation of the elderly, things that we're doing here in the state. You know, people have recognized that Planned Parenthood has recognized that we stand for life. And you look at the national level where Donald Trump has indicated, look, this funding does not need to be going to Planned Parenthood when they are a mill for killing children. So I think that, you know, with the very blue state of Illinois still ran by Springfield and the Chicago area, they decided, Planned Parenthood decided to collude with them, do this all in cahoots with the local officials over there. So the general public, which is very conservative in southern Illinois and mid-Illinois, they did it in such a way where the public wouldn't know until it was already done. And it was announced a couple days before it was up and running. So, yes, I do think this is a way to kind of build that over there, knowing that this, this last Planned Parenthood facility, because of another issue, a licensing issue here in our state, might get shut down this year.
Sorry, Tony. Let's switch over to sports for a second. Tony and I want Battle Hawk tickets from you when that season starts. Just want to throw that out there. And then there was a little controversy regarding the new soccer stadium downtown. There was a certain amount of money that was supposed to be allocated to it from the state, and that was drastically reduced. Where are we at with that?
Well, I will have another announcement. You guys just got one announcement, so I can't use them. I can't use them all up today. But in the coming weeks, I will have an announcement of my own regarding the Battle Hawk.
All right.
So I like it.
Before we kick off and before we end this terrible NFL season and start this amazing XFL season, I will have an announcement on that. But I think, you know, with Governor Parson looking at the different tax credit programs out there, this was a situation where it was put on the ballot to bring a team here being financed by St. Louisans, and it was voted down. And rumors came out that would never get a state or would never get a team, would never get a stadium. Nobody's going to fund it. Well, then these people with a lot of money came forward and they said, look, we're going to do it. We're very passionate about this. We've got the money. We've got the funds. So I think that the governor is saying, look, put your money where your mouth is. And if you can fund this, if you can bring the, you've already brought the team here without our financial assistance, continue to do this. I think ultimately they're going to get something worked out. And it's not going to be on the backs of taxpayers here in our state.
State Rep Nick Schroer, before we run out of time with you, I want to go back to that school safety bill, because I think that is a huge deal, and it's really exciting to hear that that is something that you are putting out there. And I think that a big part of the justification and validation for a bill like this is, and you mentioned it, the task force that was put together in the state of Missouri, bipartisan task force, to do this investigation on how to make schools safer. And that was the, I believe, the number one recommendation was to put a trained armed resource officer in every school. So this isn't just, you know, some Republican pro NRA gun lovers dream. This was a well thought out plan that was researched the proper way, and it was determined that this is the best way, or at least one of the best ways, to keep our kids safe in schools.
Right.
That's going to be a really hard thing, I think, for the Democrats to argue. Just talk a little bit more about the process of how you decided to write this bill and the rules that have gone into it, and that research process that was done ahead of time.
So several years ago, there was a gentleman, he's now running for Senate, it was before I ever even thought about running for office, passed legislation which would just enable and give the school districts the ability, if they wanted to take a vote and to hire an armed, trained resource officer. Of course, the school districts, some of them have done it, not all of them have done it, but that was vetoed by, I believe it was Governor Nixon, and the veto was overridden. So at that time, there were all of these Chicken Little arguments. The sky is going to fall. This is going to be, you know, treacherous having somebody with a gun in our schools. That little did they say that, that the person there was to protect the children in case of somebody coming in like they did in the church out in Texas recently. So since then, there have been some attempts to kind of modify that. It's come through the committee that I sit on, General Laws, which deals with all of the Second Amendment bills, pro or against the Second Amendment. And I came up with the idea before this school safety task force to file this piece of legislation. I spoke with Speaker Elijah Haar, the next speaker, Rob Vescovo, and they thought this was a great idea to work on over the interim. Little did I know, the school safety task force would take hearings and have witnesses come in a bipartisan fashion, came up with the idea that this would be something the state would need if we were going to be serious and get serious about keeping our children safe. Even though I think we have the facts behind us that this is truly built in a bipartisan fashion after having testimony and hearings and listening to experts, you're still going to have groups like Moms Demand Action. You're still going to have individuals that are on the other side playing partisan games and not getting serious about keeping our children safe. But keep in mind that this is something we have the facts behind us, that this is a true common sense reform, bipartisan reform that our state needs.
We had an armed resource officer in our school 25 years ago. Yeah. This is just common sense. State Rep Nick Shore, thank you so much for your time. Keep us posted as we go forward into this new legislative session on this bill, the abortion bill, and everything else that you're working on. And in the meantime, what's the best way for people to follow you?
Get on my website, Nick4Rep. It's all spelled out, Nick4Rep.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick B. Schroer. I think I'm going to have to change my little avatar because it still has St. Nick Schroer with the Santa Claus hat. But thanks for letting me kick off 2020 with you guys.
Thanks,
it's been a great year.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Have a good one. All right, we got to take a break. When we get back, Weird News Challenge time here on The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk.
Everyone's singing Skip Strong.
Right. That music usually means that Skip Weber is here, but unfortunately, Skip is not here this week.
He's watching the Blues
right
now. He's
watching the St. Louis Blues in Vegas.
Scared.
Yeah, he's scared. He's scared about the new year and trying to hold on to his Weird News Challenge title. And
he's got a good lead,
I have some good news. The records have been restored.
Yay!
However, I have not gone back in and calculated. I can't remember
math.
Who won the last two games.
Well, I can't.
I know it wasn't me.
That one wasn't on the record.
Remember?
No.
DGS. Okay.
The one on the DGS was not on the record, but the one last
week
was.
You did. You won.
Trish won that one, and then then there was one before that.
We only had two winners. Skip and
you won that. That's what I thought. Okay.
I won that one.
But all I want to know is I have officially surpassed Chris, right?
By one.
That's all I care about.
By one. Just one.
All right. So
that still counts.
I know that this is episode 64. And then I think if I'm doing this math right, then Trish is up to 14 wins, which is three more than Chris.
Whoa.
And Carl is up to four wins.
Get on my game.
Yeah, and Skip has 21 wins. So I think I'll have it all right by next week. But yeah, we were able to recover the lost documents.
I was worried about that.
You can now go on.
I was terrified. So we're good to go. So
everyone's life is now
back
to normal.
This is the first Weird News Challenge of 2020. Is a traditional game. Mm-hmm. There's going to be four questions.
Uh-oh.
The fourth question has 10 possible points.
Oh,
I don't do well.
It's another list.
Yes,
it's not that. It's actually not. I'll be surprised if you guys get more than like 5 of the 10. So these first questions
are going
to
be. And he thought Skip was going to be here. So
these first questions are going to
be Skip related.
Yeah, these first questions are going to be important, I think. So for anybody who has not heard, and maybe you're starting off the new year here on the Weekend Report and it's the first time you're listening. The Weird News Challenge, a traditional game like we're playing now, are questions related to actual news stories that are recent, that are a little bit goofy, and I'm going to ask the trivia questions about these news stories. These guys are going to try to answer those questions. If they buzz in and get it wrong, they don't lose any points. If they buzz in and get it right, they get the points, and if there's a tie at the end, we have a tiebreaker, and this is America's favorite game.
Exactly.
So
Fastest growing
and most popular, no doubt about it.
Parker Brothers
so,
call you
yet? Yeah, Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is here. Chris and Carl are playing as well. The Katie Fitzpatrick rule, I'm going to assume, is not in effect.
Not in
so you
effect.
Can buzz in anytime you like. Before we start, test your buzzers, please. Carl. Mm-hmm. Chris Harps. Mm-hmm. And Trish Gazelle.
Bloop.
Yeah. I'm the only one that really allowed, put something in there.
Yeah, he brought that one, didn't he?
He really did. It's like he's been practicing.
Yes.
He hasn't used his buzzer in so long.
It's the only time I get to use it.
He's excited that Skip isn't here. Yeah, it's the only time he actually gets to buzz in. Yeah, he's excited that Skip's not here. He thinks he's got a chance at winning.
He does not.
All right, so here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, Episode 64, question number one. St. Louis Blues All-Star goalie Jordan Bennington.
Carl. Damn it.
Trish Gazelle.
Justin Bieber.
That is correct.
Yes.
Wow. What's the question?
Damn it.
Boom. St. Louis Blues All-Star goalie Jordan Bennington challenged what pop star to a one-on-one breakaway challenge this week, and that is Justin Bieber.
Oh, 10 slap shots.
And yeah. Justin Bieber came
Bieber
back
gets and... 10 shots to try to get one past the Blues goalie, and if he does, money
charity.
Goes to charity.
No, yeah, kinda. That's cool.
Yep, very cool. Question number two. The Pope apologized this week. Yes.
Slapping a woman's hand.
That is correct.
I knew that.
The Pope apologized this week after doing what in a group of people that he was meeting? The answer is slapping a lady's hand.
Well, she pulled him.
And she has a history of mental issues.
Which
I would be scared. I mean, there's so many people, like, unless the Pope, any rock
but
star, anything.
But the look on his face.
Oh, he was not having it.
Well, that guy was supposed to be preventing that.
Yeah, it was pretty aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
pulling
I'm surprised
was pretty aggressive.
They didn't step in more than
they
did.
I noticed that, too. They just kind of came up to, like, let her go, let him go.
Yeah, yeah, the security's gotten most of the blame for that because of...
But his face, was priceless.
He was upset. All right, two questions down, two questions to go. Carl and Trish each have a point. Question number three. It is the time of year where you see lots of politicians pandering for votes. This week, we saw Representative Tulsi Gabbard doing what in the frigid waters of New Hampshire?
Carl.
Yes.
Polar plunge.
That is incorrect. Tulsi Gabbard doing what in the frigid waters of New Hampshire? Yes.
Water skiing?
No, that is incorrect.
I'll wait till
in order to
the question.
I'll read the whole question
for
you.
Yes, please. Thank you.
It's the time of year where we see lots of politicians pandering for votes. This week, we saw Representative Tulsi Gabbard doing what in the frigid waters of New Hampshire to impress voters?
So you said polar plunge. He said
water skiing. Mm-hmm.
What else would you do? Fish?
Whatever. Is that your answer?
Wait a minute.
Chris, shut up. We're not going to give you 12 minutes to answer it.
I'll give you 10 seconds.
Yeah. Ice skate.
Surfing.
Surfing.
Oh, I would have never
I thought she's not running anymore. She's from Hawaii.
Yeah.
No, she's still running.
She's still running?
Yeah, she's still running.
I thought maybe it was on a pond or
something. In fact, she's making her last stand in New Hampshire. She's
giving up Iowa.
She's doing okay in the polls there, and that's where she's going to make her stand, make her break her presidential.
I'm actually kind of glad I did not see
that. So she was surfing in the freezing waters.
That makes me cold.
In New Hampshire.
I don't understand. If you know that you're not going to win, you have a pretty good idea.
Money.
You're not going to win.
You're getting money.
But you're spending all that money on nothing.
They're making more money than you're spending.
You want me to let you in on why they do it?
But wait.
Okay.
cabinet position.
So can you keep that money if you don't spend it on
ads?
Yes,
you can't. You can,
they can keep the money in a campaign account, but a lot of these people do this is when you run for office, you are creating a tremendous email list that is very valuable, that you can go to people for contributors. You can sell that list to people. So she knows she may not win, but she is creating a great list so that maybe when she runs again, she can call on these people. Yeah. She can sell that list. So that's why these people
just
stick in.
It's a shame to waste all that money.
And she has all
nothing.
That money in a campaign fund, a super PAC that she can do things with.
So if she doesn't
it gives you a lot of power.
Yeah.
If she doesn't spend all that money, do you keep it?
No, you can't keep it.
Where does
she
it go?
She controls it. She keep it. But they can't. She can't use it to buy
a house
and clothes and cars. But she can keep it for
trips,
political purposes, and she can use it to make campaign donations and things like that.
And they changed that rule about 20 years ago. You used to, if you were a politician, you had a bunch of money in your campaign account, you could keep that money personally.
It,
and then they changed the rule.
You still have all that money that you control and you can use for other political purposes.
Yeah, you could give it to other
candidates. Or give to other candidates, too, for favors.
Or you just say, hey, I got to take this trip for my campaign. And
to New Zealand.
Exactly. A lot of people do that.
Exactly. Okay,
it's a fact-finding mission.
Question number four. This is a 10. Point question.
All right, here's where I make my run.
Carl has a point. Trish has a point. This is the last question. There's plenty on the line, though, so anybody can still win
this
game.
I have an idea what it might be.
First person to buzz in gets first crack at the points. What do you think it might be?
Well, I don't want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
I don't think you're right.
Oh. Wait, well, you can whisper in his ear. Go ahead. You can whisper
in his ear. USA Today just released its list of the greatest athletes of the past decade. Who were the top 10? Trish.
Tiger Woods.
Incorrect.
What?
Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant.
No. Incorrect.
What?
All right, here we go, baby.
I broke
here
the
you
pen.
Go.
I broke the pen.
Here you go. All you need to do is get one.
Wow.
Think about it.
That's
now. All
BS.
You got to do is get one to force a tiebreaker. I'm going to read this question.
I don't need it. I think I know two at least.
I know.
Tom Brady.
Next one.
Tom Brady is number three.
Son of a
bitch. LeBron.
At least you're the tiebreaker. LeBron James is number one.
I won.
Chris Harms wins.
Kobe's not on the list.
Tiger? No. You don't think Tiger should be on the
no,
list?
No, not in the last decade.
Serena?
He's not been good. Serena's number two. Here's the list.
I can't remember the last time I won.
Serena.
Here's the list. Unless you want to keep on
going. Do I get a prize or something?
Do you want to keep going?
Keep
you
going.
You want to try to rub it in?
Mm.
Yeah, rub it in.
Okay, yeah, I do.
I gave you one that you didn't
weren't
paying attention.
Serena was on the list, but she was number two. LeBron James was number one. Serena was number two. Tom Brady was number three.
I don't need any more.
Yeah, you don't need any more.
I don't want to mess up my good run.
Simone Biles was number four.
Oh, that's a good
the
one.
Olympic. Yeah. Usain Bolt was number five. Yeah. Mike Trout was number six. Steph Curry was number seven. Lionel Messi was number eight. Michael Phelps, somebody should have gotten that, was number nine.
Really?
And Novak Djokovic, the tennis player, was number 10.
I would have maybe got one or two of those.
I should have said Serena.
Has won. Said Brady.
Should have said Serena.
When's the last time I've
won?
It's embarrassing.
That's a good way to start 2020.
That's exactly right. That is a great
that
way
means something.
To start the new year. Chris Arps has
Serena.
Won.
I hate that that
You're
happens.
A little under the weather, though.
I
so
hate that that happens.
Nice. His 12th victory
Can't
of all
give me
time.
A little come,
Congratulations.
Little win. Thank you.
Yes.
I act like I'm happy for you when you win.
No,
all right.
You don't.
But you're not.
Had we have
he
needed the tiebreaker.
I said I act
yeah,
like
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
happy.
Yeah.
Had we have needed a tiebreaker, here is what it would have been. According to a new survey, the survey asked people, at what age do they think they feel like their life has the most meaning? According to the results of the survey, starting at around 20, people start looking for the meaning of their life. What is the age that most people feel like they have found that answer and that their life has the most meaning? What age does your life have the most meaning?
All right, Chris, you go
Chris,
first.
Chris, you go first because
I'm
going to
say 30.
Okay.
Do I go next?
Or sure.
43.
Okay. Carl?
34.
60.
60. Oh. Wow. I'm almost there then.
Trish Gazelle would have gotten that one.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It doesn't count.
People feel like their life has the most meaning at
Thank
the
you,
age of 60. It means nothing.
Tony, but, make sure you don't lose this record that I
won. I will
won.
Not.
Okay.
I will
Thank
not.
You.
You're
going to
text
Chris
Skip while he's in Vegas?
I will.
Hey, why don't you put some money down?
You should.
I am going to tell him.
Well,
wow.
Trish,
I feel good. My self-esteem really took
Serena
a good hit there.
Did. Yeah.
Wow.
I feel good. I like that every other time that if Chris is the only one, the other people have gone, he's like, oh, please repeat the question. Please, Tony, could you please read that question?
I knew, too.
And he was like, no, I don't even read it.
Get it over with.
I already know.
I should have said Tom
The confidence
Brady.
Was. What I should have said Serena. What did you think that question was going to be? You said, oh, I think I know it.
Oh, I thought you were going to name the top 10 resolutions people make.
Oh.
I don't know why.
And what was number one?
That's a good one.
Lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Money.
Lose weight. Yeah.
Start a family. I don't know.
Smoking.
I was just going to throw some.
Kill your rivals.
There you go.
Preparing my answer.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Well, man, that was exciting. Congratulations, Chris Harps.
Congrats, thank
you.
Chris.
Thank you.
You can talk about whatever you want in the next segment.
Just because I may not hear it again for quite a while, can you guys say congratulate me again?
One more time, and that is
okay.
It. Congratulations.
Thank you, Tony.
Chris Harps has won. Chris Harps
Carl.
Wins. Chris
I'm
Harps
very
wins.
Proud of you.
Such a production.
Wow.
See what he does.
Because I'm never going to hear it again for like 6 months probably.
Good stuff.
Probably.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to calm down. We're going to take a break. Trish Gazelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
maybe next week when Skip is back,
week.
We can you can take him off of his
perch.
His perch, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Skip's in trouble. I got momentum.
All right. Quick break. Back with more
you
Weekend
do?
Report.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere. It's 97.1 FM Talk. Oh, he's just overflowing with confidence right now.
What are you talking about?
What you got a ball?
Don't hurt your phone.
Woo! Don't try to slow my roll, Carl. I won.
He's a champ.
Did. I won.
He's
I'm the champ.
Champ. He's
for
the champ.
Six more days.
He's the champ, baby.
So
exciting stuff there in
it
the Weird
exciting.
News Challenge.
Winning is always exciting.
Carl's got something to say.
I knew that Justin Bieber won too, and I would that wouldn't have mattered.
Mm-hmm.
You should have known.
Buzzer
that
speed.
One. That was your question.
No, Trishkin.
Welcome
she's
back,
the Casey King,
to the weird,
the blues guy.
I almost said Weird News Challenge. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Weird News Challenge just ended. Chris Harps has broken the losing streak and won. I want to remind people, if you missed anything from today's show, we talked with State Rep Nick Schroer, who made an announcement about something that he is working on in the 2020 legislative session. We also talked to Rodney Boyd. As we just said, Chris Harps won the Weird News Challenge. If you missed anything on today's show, download the podcast for free. Best place to do that
Let's
is on the radio.com app. Yeah.
Let's hope. There's been
works.
Issues with the website.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully.
But the radio.com, that still works.
Radio.com app. Download the podcast. Also on that app, you can listen to the station 24/7, and you can take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature. So make sure you check that out.
So, Tony, you mean that once this program airs, that I can go to the radio.com app and replay my victory?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can over and over,
over
and over.
Over and over and over.
As many
Please
times
do that.
As
we need
you'd like.
Great, great. Okay.
I don't think,
just want to make sure.
I'm a little embarrassed at how excited I was.
You were jumping
you were
up and down.
Just,
like you won.
It was the whole, like, the Cardinals
Chris
win the pennant. The Cardinals win.
I think you were, like, pulling. I think you've been quietly pulling for me. He's like, God, he's got to win.
Hey, man. Look, I love you, buddy. And I wanted
you.
To see you do well.
I appreciate
and,
it.
Yeah.
You just didn't want to be a loser.
I know.
One of those questions was yours that you got wrong.
I know what? I know that's been weighing on you.
It has been.
I know.
I mean,
I don't
like losing week after week after week after week.
Got the monkey off your back, and now you're ready to go in the new year.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're next.
Also,
okay.
We need to talk about Carl's latest movie review.
Yeah.
You can always check out our weekly movie reviews on 971talk.com/weekendreport or the 971 YouTube channel. Tell people what we're talking about this week.
Well, last week it was the year in review.
That's right.
This week is the decade in review. We go through my top 20 movies, but we only
like
really
it.
Talk about the my top five.
Right.
Which is very surprising. This was all started by Cinema St. Louis. They had all the movie critics in the area send their top 15. Mm-hmm. I couldn't narrow it down to 15, so I sent them 20. Right. And then, of course, then they didn't have me write about anything because I sent them too much information. So I'm going to be listed in Cinema St. Louis at The Lens. That is their website.
Nice. What's their website? What's the lens.com?
It's cinemasaintlouis.org.
Cinemasaintlouis.org. Okay.
So I'm going to be in there. They have so many people writing about it because I think it's, critics have their own favorite for over a 10-year period. Like in a,
yeah,
even if you look in a 1-year mm-hmm. period, you know, like the cream rises to the top. A lot of people like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but over a 10-year period, then of those top, then they're the top. A lot of people are saying like Mad Max Fury Road, a movie that I liked, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say that's the best of the last 10 years. My pick is a very interesting one. It is actually a children's movie, and I had zero expectations for it, and it was my number one movie of 2014. See, I'm giving you hints, but I'm not telling you what it is because we want you to go to the website.
Yeah, make sure you go and check that out every week, 971talk.com/weekendreport or the 971 YouTube channel, and check out Carl's weekly movie reviews, something that we started here at the end of 2019, and we look forward to doing all through 2020.
My question to you is, have you seen Star Wars 9 yet?
No, I have not. I haven't actually been to the theater to see it.
Did you? Yeah, Beck and I saw it a couple days after. Look, I love Star Wars because the original, the first one came out when I was 11 years old.
Well, that's trash now.
And it was such a dynamic experience.
Did you like Return of the Jedi? Because that's trash now.
What I'm trying to say is I only go to the movies because it's a nostalgic thing from my mm-hmm. childhood, but mm-hmm. I really don't get into the movies.
Did you enjoy it when you left the theater?
Let me tell you, this is what I was going to say. I told Becky this.
This is going
to
start
these movies. These movies are literally, to me, the same movie every single movie.
Yeah, they did that.
The last four or five of them have been the same freaking movie.
Yeah.
But I like them because nostalgia.
So when you
Star
left
Wars
the theater, you enjoyed. You said, I did not waste 2.5 hours.
I enjoyed it as much as I could enjoy it.
Yeah. See?
I mean, it wasn't like
that's all they want to ask of Tony.
It wasn't like I recommended or anything.
We got to do the spoiler cast. Rachel Zimmerman said she was in on the spoiler cast.
Oh, she.
So we need to do
it. She's on my side, though.
We need to do it. I don't care.
Okay.
There can be multiple wrong people.
But it's also weird if you talk about it without seeing it.
Well, I haven't seen it in the theater.
You saw it in your mind.
you got the bootleg copies?
Maybe. Maybe when you live, you know, some people, you live in North County, you got a guy there, somebody's got a camera in a theater
where
somewhere.
Somebody walks in front of the screen.
So the total experience of some guy going, Sheila, I want more popcorn.
I don't want to give him my
money. Hey, sit down in the front.
I don't want to give him my money, Carl. That's what it comes down to.
Yes, but you already went to Disney this year. They already have your money.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. And I'm not mad at Disney. I'm just mad at the Star Wars people. That's all.
They're the same movies over
and over. The Star Wars, the Disney, that department. The Star Wars department. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not mad at the Mickey Mouse department.
Okay.
Or the Pixar people.
Lucasfilms department.
Kathleen Kennedy and her ilk.
That group. Yeah, group.
But Bob Iger's in charge of that division as well.
I know. Well, you know what? You can just you can love something and be disappointed with it.
That is true.
What are we talking about? You know what?
We have 5 minutes left.
Here's something I want to get your guys' thoughts on. Did you know that the Illinois Senate has passed a bill to make daylight savings time permanent in the state of Illinois?
It
still has to pass the House and get signed by the governor for it to happen, but this is like on the fast track of happening, which would mean that for half the year.
They'd be Eastern time zone.
Yeah, for half the year, Missouri and Illinois would be it would have different times. So there's a lot of people that work here at the radio station live in Illinois that, you know, they would wake up at a certain time and it would be whatever time there. And when they would start at work would be a completely different hour. I am all for moving permanently to daylight saving time. I would love for that to happen. And again, if that's what Illinois wants to do and that's what the people over there want, I'm all for it. But obviously, it's creating a bunch of friction about people that live right on the border of saying,
well, yeah,
that's going to screw
about,
everything up.
What about people that live on the border of Indiana and Ohio?
Right.
They have that all the time.
And the whole thing like, oh, well, how if I have a meeting at 10 o'clock, and, but I live in Illinois, and how am I going to remember what? Well, it's
you'll
pretty basic,
it out.
Easy. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I mean, we're smart people here. It's not, but it is interesting to think that, you know, for many months of the year that we would have a, it would be a different time here than right across the
river. Because it's the bi-state area. That's what people are screwed up by.
Explain to us, simpletons, is daylight time, saving time, is what we have now?
No, we're
or
in
is
standard.
Okay, because I can't ever
So daylight savings time. Daylight savings time is where it's lighter longer.
Okay.
So
okay.
So instead
spring
of,
forward.
So instead of in the middle of, like right now is kind of where in the where the days are the shortest of the year. Instead of it getting dark at 5 o'clock, it would get dark at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
But it would also stay darker longer in the morning. So you just kind of flip that.
And the reason they did that is because they didn't want kids and farmers getting up early in the dark.
I always hear farmers. I always hear kids at the bus stop.
I heard it was because of the energy crisis of the early
70s. Yeah, I've heard that before, too. Yep, I've heard that before, too.
I think I'm
It doesn't matter. It's time's arbitrary.
Do you think that you have any problem with Missouri and Illinois being in different, essentially different time zones for half the year?
No, because I really don't have any business over in Illinois. I don't ever go over there, so it wouldn't really affect me at all.
Well, okay, let's talk about someone that just moved, Trisha Siegman from the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Yeah, uh-huh.
She was from Illinois. She moved to Missouri. She has just moved back to Illinois, and she's talked about this on the air, so we're not telling tales out of school. But she has to be here at 4 o'clock in the morning. She would have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be here by 4 o'clock in the morning. So she's actually getting an extra hour of sleep that way.
Yeah, there you go. See?
I think the human body is very resilient, and I think eventually people's internal clocks would get used to it.
Before we run out of time, I want to just mention this story because it's just a perfect way to end 2019 as far as news stories are concerned. The Loop Trolley.
Ah,
did you hear about this?
Yeah.
On its last trip ever, broke down.
Yes.
Only fitting.
On the last trip ever, it broke down. A couple people were tweeting live as it was happening and said that, you know, it was broke down for like 45 minutes and they literally came out and rebooted it. They turned it off and turned it back on.
Wow.
To make it go again. And somebody was tweeting like, we're sitting here in the dark as they turned off the Loop Trolley. And it broke down because the doors opened not simultaneously. And I guess the doors either have to open all at the same time or not, and it screwed everything up and broke down the system.
Do you guys remember
trolley.
How many cars did it hit during its short, faithful run? Do you remember?
Remember, it hit like five in the first week.
Well, it's because you had to be, including your mirrors, had to be within that yellow line, and nobody cared
about
doing
that. That's going to do it for the first edition of the Weekend Report of 2020. Thank you guys so much
tuning
in. We are looking forward to an exciting 2020. Yes, Chris Arps has won the first Weird News Challenge. Don't forget about Carl's movie reviews at 971talk.com/weekendreport or the 971 YouTube channel. And we will see you back here next week for Chris Arps and Carl Middleman. I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.